Hello and welcome back to the Peak Endurance Podcast after a short hiatus. I've obviously forgotten how to talk. Yes, we are back. I am Isabel Tate and next to me is my husband,
Ron Tate.
And we are basically the Peak Endurance Podcast, where we talk about all things endurance, mainly running though.
Yes.
Really? I always had kind of hoped that maybe I could get some other endurance athletes on, but kind of... I'm just more interested in the running, quite frankly.
That's where our interest lies.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, here we are. It is Monday, the 18th of September. Can't even remember days anymore.
No, that meant for the last 6.5 weeks, it's meant.
It hasn't mattered. The only thing that's mattered is whether we have to get to a country on a certain day.
Yeah.
So today is our last full day in Germany, and we fly home tomorrow. It's been a
whirlwind couple of weeks.
It's been a long and tiring trip. You always think of these things, you look forward to them, and it's been fantastic, but it's also been bloody hard work. It's been I just touched the chafe on my back. It's been an endurance event all of its own, especially because of the running, the 100-kilometre races as well, which we will get into in a minute. But, yeah, it's bloody tiring.
Anyone who thinks that train travel could be nice and relaxing,
he's mad.
He don't know what you're talking
about. He's delusional.
It is hard. It is tiring.
It
can be stressful.
It's very stressful because you're always scared you're going to, miss the train because your train's running 2 minutes late. They've only given you a 3-minute buffer.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's very stressful.
Yeah.
And trying to sprint for a train when you did a 100-kilometer race the day before and you're dragging a 25-kilo suitcase behind you and a backpack and bags in your hands.
Yeah.
And your feet are blistered.
And you got to go downstairs before you can go back upstairs.
Oh God, it's like, seriously.
Yeah.
That was yesterday, by the way.
And we're still feeling the effects. So
I am really sore today. So what we're going to get into is the 12 in 12 challenge, okay, which is changing.
It is. It has now officially become.
The 7 in 7.
The 7 in 7.
Why do you want the full 12 when you can do the 7?
Yes,
so let's start with when we arrived in Germany and we went for a run. We just went to do a quality session, and I was running and I was thinking, I feel shit. I feel terrible. I said to Ron, I feel as bad as I did after Costa Cozzi and my surgery when I was feeling bad for a few months. I felt like that. I felt terrible, and I was quite upset because I just didn't. It was a really bad few months, like really, really bad. And I don't want to go there again. It was horrible. Let's just put it that way. It was not a good time in my life, and I don't want to go there again.
That's right.
So then 3 days later, I raced.
So we went from a dead flat, what was it, 10 to 12 kilometer quality session that felt like it.
I was going to die, and I wanted to die.
Then we went to the Swiss Alps.
Yep. And third of the way through that, I wanted to die too, quite frankly. So obviously I wasn't feeling well anyway. Also, I was premenstrual and all that, but that the feeling that I had, that was not that. It was more because after Swiss Alps, I got quite sick.
Yes, you went downhill.
I got quite unwell, and fevers and
runny nose,
it was like a malaise. Rather, I don't think I was sick with a virus. It was just my body wasn't coping. And that the effects of that, although I got better within a few days, the effects of that probably lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I had 1 week of feeling good where, although I felt good, every run was painful. We would run through Paris and every 500 metres, I would be thankful for the traffic lights because my body hurt so much. Like, it felt like every inch of bone in my body hurt, all my muscles. It just felt horrible running. I didn't want to run. I thought, how am I going to do 100 Ks in a couple of weeks? I didn't feel good. Then we got to Turin and I magically
somehow turned that corner.
And I felt awesome.
Yeah,
I felt so good.
Yeah.
I was loving the running. That was the best.
Yeah.
And here we go, the best I felt running almost in 2 years.
That's right. And we were running through foothills, so it was...
It was slogs. It was normally the kind of hills that's like, hills. Oh, this is such a grind. But I was loving it. And you liked it too, but you hadn't been... You got a little bit sick, but you didn't get like I did. Anyway, so after the Swiss Alps, when I was feeling like just terrible, that's when I decided I wasn't going to do anymore because I feel like I'm wrecking my health. I also did the maths, and I've spent for seven races now, I've spent nearly $8,000 on this exercise, if not more. That's a very what's the word?
Expensive?
No. My estimate is a very
conservative.
Thank you. Yes, great podcasting, those dead silences. A very conservative estimate. I would say it's more. Because I haven't taken into account lost income. Because when I don't work at school teaching, I don't get paid. And sadly, coaching does not rake in the big dollars that obviously everybody thinks it does because everybody wants free stuff from coaches. No, it doesn't. It doesn't bring me in the millions, sadly. I have to teach as well. And I was losing money not teaching, spending all this money, wrecking my energy levels, and you know, the coaching job is a 24/7 job. I do not get a day off, do I?
No, you don't.
No, and that's not because I have to. I enjoy checking in on my athletes on the weekends and all that. I don't have an issue with it, but when I'm absolutely can barely, you know, when I'm not feeling well, then, or I'm so exhausted, then that's not conducive to good work performance either. So, it was affecting my work life, my health, and you know what?
Just the enjoyment of running.
And it was sucking the joy, all my runs during the week, because I always say this, I've always said you should have no more than 2 to 3 really big runs a year. And I thought, well, I can do this because they're not going to be big as in A races. I'll just do them all as like C, D races. But actually, it's not fun doing them all as C and D races. Yeah. It's not. I thought, oh, it'll be fun just cruising around. No, it's actually not.
Yeah.
You know, and they're getting slower and it's like, oh, I just don't want to be out there for hours on freaking hours on end. I mean, some people do enjoy that and I have no problem with other people enjoying that. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
So I would prefer to race less, which I've always said, and enjoy it more and have a little bit more money for some other things in life. I mean, I know everyone's like, well, you've just been on a European trip. Yeah, but we've saved up hard for this and we're now in debt as well. So we have to go back to work, and that's the thing. If we went back to work, I'd have to 2 weeks later we'd be going up to New South Wales, and I just can't afford more time off work, and you can't.
I mean, I've used up all my annual leave on this holiday, so
and I like I said, I don't get paid, so it's just unaffordable. And like, there's the only race in January is in Western Australia. The money required to go for that. And all the race entries, believe you me, if you've done any races, you know how expensive they are, and I'm paying for one of them every month.
Yeah.
It's whew, and accommodation and fuel, and it's just unsustainable financially.
Yeah.
And
especially in Australia where you have to travel
to so time. Far.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like I've always said, is you shouldn't race too much because you only have so many times you can go to the well. I personally believe within yourself, you only have so many times you can go to that dark, shitty place and drag yourself out of it to get yourself to the end. And did I not say to you, well, there was a number of reasons why I said it, but on the race that we just did, the Wienerwald, that I said, I just don't have any grit left at the moment.
Yeah.
Like I don't, like things didn't get too bad, so it was okay, but things had gotten bad. I said, I don't have it within me to drag myself out of that dark, dark spot that you can get into. So luckily we didn't really get there, and luckily you were doing it with me, because if I'd been on my own,
you might still be out there.
Yeah, I might still be out there crying like Gretel in the forest. Anyway, so I do believe mentally it's draining to do so many big, long races. So I'm looking at it as an experiment of one, an N of one, and I stand by what I've always said, is that you shouldn't over race. And I thought I could do it as C and D races, which I see a lot of athletes doing. So, but it doesn't work. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe it's me, but I think I'm fairly robust physically and mentally, and it's aged me. I mean, you said at the end of the 100K race, you felt like you'd aged 50 years.
Yep.
Well, I've been doing one a month. I'm really. There are more gray hairs, I reckon, and I feel my body feels older, and so so I'm stopping.
For me, you know, I've done one every 2 months, and that has killed me. Just this morning, we were talking, and Isabel suggested, "Why don't we do the Marysville 50?" And she said she could see my face drop.
as a word to coming out of my mouth.
You haven't finished the sentence, already, my face has dropped.
And I'm like, no, we won't do it.
Because needless to say, we did do the Vina Val, the 100.
And we
got it done, but we are suffering.
Oh, my God. I have not been this sore after a race in, I cannot remember how long. And you said the same.
Yeah, since my first 100, I haven't felt pain like this.
Yeah, it's not a particularly tough race on paper. Yeah. So the Vina Val 50 is a 100 is a 50K loop that you do twice.
Yeah.
It's through the forests of Austria, and quite frankly, I found it beautiful.
Yeah,
and it was a hot day, so it was nice, lots of tree canopy.
There were a couple of villages that we had to run
through. Yeah, nothing major, but nice, and everyone was lovely. It was a very small race, only, pardon me, just been sculling water. 33 participants in the 100, 102 participants in the 50. And a very low female count all round, because 102 participants in the 50K race, it was only 20 women, wasn't there? Yeah, I don't understand.
That was 20%. And in the 100, there was only five
women. Maybe I should have told everyone I came third woman before we said there were only five women. I came third. I was on the podium. There was no podium.
There was no podium.
By the time we finished.
There was barely even a finish line.
But I came third. It's amazing. In Europe, there's not as many women who race, so you can go to Europe in these smaller villages where if you go to UTMB, that's something different. But if you go around Europe to the different villages and race in all their races, then, yes, there's not many women, and you can podium fairly easily, as I proved. So if you need a bit of an ego boost, come to Europe, do some of the races in the villages, and you'll do well. So, it was a tough day out. It was 25 degrees. We got the first 50 done in 7 hours, and we weren't feeling like we were pushing overly hard.
We weren't pushing hard. We were just jogging,
walking the hills with poles because some of them were still steep, running the flats, jogging, when we say running, we're not running at 10K pace or something, but, running 100K pace and talking and chatting. Yeah. And so we didn't feel like we were overly pushing. But on the last little bit of coming in before the finish line of the 50K, of the first 50, I said to you, I feel funny from the heat. I have that feeling like it's my body's not coping with the heat. And then we stopped at the aid station, and then we went to get our drinks out of our bags, our food. And I said to Ron, it's weird. I feel like I'm cold and I've got goosebumps.
And I looked up at her because I was ferreting around in the bag at the time. I looked up at her and she was very pale.
Yeah.
She would, for Isabella.
And I've got olive skin.
It was fairly dark skinned. Mm. I looked up and she was really pale. So I got quite concerned quickly.
Yeah. And he grabbed the liter and a half bottle of water and just poured it all over my head. Because, of course, my head, it's like having a turban on my head. My hair, I mean. It's so thick. And just generally, I just wasn't. Just haven't coped with the heat that well this year. So you poured that water over my head and that helped heaps in a bone. And we jogged off and we sort of, it was a flat bit, which normally, the first week we ran it all.
Yeah.
But I had to run walk it because I'd get waves of feeling not quite right.
Yeah.
And so the rest of, till it got dark, and then later we were still running and I was drinking so much water.
Yeah.
I'd drunk nearly 2 litres of water and I'd drunk 500 mils.
Yeah,
and I was getting this bad headache, getting dizzy, and I said to Ron, I think maybe I need to stop drinking so much.
Yeah.
But I was just so thirsty and it was really hard to stop myself drinking, but I just felt that and I don't normally drink a lot in races, but to have drunk 2 liters when you'd only drunk 500 mils, I thought that's, I don't, as I discussed with Ron, we have insurance, but we don't know if that would cover us injuring ourselves in a race. Yeah. And I didn't want to have to go to hospital and find out. So I thought better off to get a little bit dehydrated than to be overhydrated, because there was no way I was going to be dehydrated drinking that much. So I stopped drinking for a while. But then that, you know, once it got cooler, that all sorted out.
Yeah.
But one thing we felt that really affected our energy levels was all the touristing.
It was. By the time, because we thought we had originally planned that our 5 days, whatever it was in Vienna, was just going to be relaxing, you know, trying to recuperate, because we knew we'd been busy up till then.
And it was, but
even then, we
even doing nothing, walking. We were so exhausted. Yeah,
like by, oh my God. By 3:30 in the afternoon, we'd be ready for bed and we'd be exhausted. Yeah. So we didn't go into this race in the best shape possible.
Yeah, when we were in Rome, we at the end of each day, we'd have done 40,000 steps, you know.
In 33 degrees.
Yeah, in 33 degrees on cobblestones and rocks. Yeah. And I mean, admittedly, we'd do a 10K easy run in the morning, but that was, you would get home from that run and it was like you'd been in the shower. Yeah. You were so sweaty. And so even, and in Paris, it was the same, 30 to 40,000 steps a day, you know, dealing with the heat, tourists.
Yeah.
Okay, we're tourists, but other tourists are more annoying than us.
Of course.
We're the good tourists. But it was just, and then sleeping in different beds. And oh my God, I got no sleep on this trip, because either the room would be really noisy, or it would, there'd be a bright light shining in through the window with no curtains. And European pillows are very lumpy.
They're either very lumpy or not there at all.
It's like just a pillowcase. Yeah. With a feather sticking in your ear.
Yeah. So sleep was not easy to come by.
Many a night I lie there. Oh, God. Anyway, going, the one thing I'm looking forward to is my own bed. So, but you know, we're not complaining. It was awesome. But like I said to Ron, really, this worldwide traveling is for 20-year-olds. They've got the energy and the physical and mental resilience to get up and do it all again tomorrow. And we're like, oh, Jesus, Mary, more castles, church.
That's why people of our vintage tend to get on a cruise and stay on the cruise.
Yeah, we're not that bad. We are not doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was. Yeah, I mean, it's been a great trip, but it was hard work, you know?
Very tiring. We have crammed quite a lot into it. So, so here we are on our last day. Tomorrow we get on the plane to fly back to Melbourne.
Back to the boring routine. But we got the 100K down. We haven't finished talking about that.
Okay.
I don't think. So then we went out on the second loop. And so, like we said, the first loop took 7 hours. And then the second loop took us 8.5.
Yeah.
And I don't normally slow down like that. No. And we run together. You don't. And your hip flexors went a little bit in the first loop. By the second loop, his quads were gone.
My quads just
and it's not like he was bombing downhills. No, no. We were not bombing downhills. My hips had locked tight, and I don't normally ever get tight hips. I've got blood blisters all over my feet. At Swiss Alps, I didn't have one blister. It was just like everything that went wrong. I've got chafe all over my back, my waist.
My quads are so shot that we went out for a walk this morning, and every now and then my leg would just completely give way, and I'm
slipping on, and he's going, no, it's just my leg giving way. And it's like, we went out for dinner last night with my cousin and to the Flick Flack, the little restaurant, and as we got up to leave, we were hobbling so bad, everyone else in the restaurant laughed at us.
it was quite surreal. Literally, people were laughing out loud.
And then we're just like, holding on to someone's chair at their table, going, let me get past you. You know, so it's like it ruined us. Yeah. Like, the only thing I can put it down to is all the walking we've done. And once again, I was saying this to you, I've always said to people, do your race at the beginning of your European holiday, not at the end, because all the touristing will wreck you. And I always said that based on, because I've always done my run first, based on that's what I believe. I've no, it is proof. It is true. God, it, especially when you've done 100K at start, but you hadn't done 100K at start and it still wrecked your body. Yeah. So if you are planning, do the run first and then you can enjoy all the food, all the drinks, you know, whatever. Yeah. Get in the wheelchair to go around touristic if you have to, if you're that crippled. But, yeah, yeah, no, we are, yeah.
We're spent.
We are spent. Yep. And we've spent all the money, so we're physically spent and the money is spent, so there'll be no more races because, yeah, it's just too much. Because those, the next five races, well, as it is, I'm in Costa Cozzi, so that's one of them anyway. So it's probably going to be the, I've done 9 in 12 because I'll do Costa Cozzi and we're still going to do Heart to Heart.
Yeah.
It's just October, November and January I'm not going to do. I just can't. Financially, time off from work, physically. And you know, I don't want to go into Costa Cozzi exhausted. This is not a race that you take on lightly. It's 243 kilometres. And I can't do that if I've been feeling like this in the weeks leading up to it.
You can't be cooked in the first 50K.
No, that's not the recipe for success. So these are all things for you. I mean, I know it's all talking about us, but for people to take into consideration and think about when they're planning their race season, you don't need to do all the races. That's you don't. Right.
Yeah.
And it's been great doing a variety of races, but it's also just, like I said, it's really mentally tough and all the driving and going places. And sometimes it's nice just to run from home, isn't it?
It is.
You know, or run local trails as in, you know, find somewhere not too far away.
And it's also good for your enjoyment of your hobby if you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, not
it's
dreading
probably,
it.
It's probably been a while since you've looked forward to a race.
Nah.
For the pure, you know, because we run because we love it. We do these
races. It's not like we're getting paid to do it.
So you want to actually be enjoying it and looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And yeah, this challenge has kind of lost that
bit.
Momentarily.
Yeah, but that's fine. I needed at the time. I needed something coming out of not being well. I needed something. And it gave me something to work on. And one thing it did really well, so it gave me something and that's great. But I'm at the point now I'm feeling a lot better. And when I got that feeling again, I actually got a bit frightened because I thought, you know, I've had chronic fatigue before and I just did not want to dig myself back into some hole. Chronic fatigue took me 15 years to get out of, and that feeling that I got again, that was enough to make me not want to do the challenge anymore because my health is more important than going, oh, I have to finish the challenge. You know, and I think it is also really good to know your limits and then to just stick by it because I put it out there to everyone that I'm going to do the 12 and 12 and now I'm saying, oh, no, I'm not. And, and someone could see that as being embarrassing. But I don't. I think it also shows mental strength that I'm able to go, well, I'm just going to stop. If I wasn't mentally strong, I'd go, oh, I better finish it so people don't think I'm an idiot. And whatever, you know, you can think I'm, oh, she's copped out. And that's okay. People are entitled to their opinion and that's fine, but you're not living my life and you're not me. So,
But either way you look at it,
it was still bloody tough.
700 kilometer races in 7 months is a tough effort. Personally how mentally challenging it was, not just physically, but mentally challenging for you to turn it around and get ready for the next one when you're still not over the last one.
Yeah.
You know, there were a couple of tight turnovers.
Yeah.
Obviously 1 week being the tightest, but so you know, the fact that you could, you know, bring yourself up the next race so quickly after finishing the last one. Because I mean, as most people would understand, the mental fatigue after a 100K race, not just the physical fatigue, but the mental fatigue of it actually takes some time to get
over.
It
does,
You feel down for the next week,
I would be a little bit fuzzy in the head, not quite on the ball.
Yep. So, you know, when you think about, you know, the effort, the mental effort it takes to complete a 100-kilometer race, it's it's not something to be taken lightly.
No.
You know, we get a bit blasé.
We do.
When we do these races, you know, for the fact that you've done quite a lot of these now, you know, you can come into a blasé, oh, it's just another 100Ks. But it is another 100Ks.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, to people who are not runners or even are not ultra runners, that's a long way.
Yeah.
And even me, you know, before you started this challenge, I'd only ever done 300K races. And I've now done three. Seven.
I thought it was two.
No, it was. No, because Canberra was.
Oh, yeah, of course. We did Canberra together. Yeah. I keep forgetting.
Yeah. So now I've done seven. So I've actually more than doubled how many 100Ks I've done.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in 1 year has, you know, I've felt that mental.
And you yourself said, I mean, when we were discussing this, And I sort of said, should I stop? And you were, not that you told me I should stop, but you didn't like seeing me in so much pain during them, you know, and it was quite often for him to see me in pain often because the races were quite often, and that was challenging for you too. Yeah, so, but,
you know, when particularly the Swiss Alps, seeing Isabel come into the, oh, it was about the 70K
aid station,
knowing that she had a really, solid climb in front of her. She was at her lowest spirit. And that's hard, you know.
It's hard to push someone out the door.
It is. It's hard to push a loved one out the door knowing that they're just walking into complete and utter misery. So it hasn't been easy watching.
That's right. And that's what I'm trying to get across is it hasn't just been on the races where you didn't race. It's still been hard for you. A, the work of crewing is hard, but B, being in that position, it's still hard. Yeah. Yes, so that's that.
Yeah.
So basically my next race is Coast to Cozzy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that was the other thing that we spoke about, you know.
Yeah, that I want to give it a respectful go, you know. Yeah. Like, which means obviously I'm not going for the win. I'm not. I'm like I said on my birthday post. I'm 53 now. I'm looking at having a strong finish and a better one than last year when I wasn't feeling the best, and I was just like, you know, it was hard. So I want to do better than last year.
Which means training specifically for it.
Yeah, because last time we didn't train specifically for it until the last few weeks because we didn't even know I was in it. And I just can't train properly with the challenge. I just simply can't. So, you know, we decided the focus was going to be that, and we will do heart and train for that, but it's only February, so it's not long, but we'll do that for fun as well kind of thing. Like that is for the community, it's a fun, the community that's there, it'll be fun for us in that way as well.
That's right. But to do that as well, we need to get into the hills. Which when we're trying to get to Perth and
do those runs,
it's not possible. So we wanted to actually, you know, give it the focus that we think it deserves.
Yeah. So, yes, so that is that. Let us know your thoughts, you know. And let us know any challenges that you've personally come up with for yourself, whether you've ever pivoted on something like this like I have. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I also want people to know that it's okay to change your mind. You don't have to keep going with something because you've said something out there on social media. You don't have to ruin your health just to go, oh, God, I said it. I mean, because honestly, by this time in next month, no one's going to care. You know, by this time next week, no one's going to care. So, you know, you can change your mind. You can decide you want to do something different. You can change your focus. You can do whatever you want.
You can.
Within limits and the law.
I'll make note of that.
Well, within the law, as long as you don't get caught.
Well, it's not illegal if you don't get caught.
That's right. Yes. Anyway. Okay. So the VIN, there was something else I wanted to say about the VINAVAL. Everyone wants to go and do CCC, UTMB. You know what? There's other races in bloody Europe.
There is.
You know, and CCC and UTMB, they're great. Freaking expensive to get in. 6 million bajillion people, I'm, and you're the same, and not into that big over the top, you know, kind of race experience.
I don't want to be in a race where I have to stand in line and wait for other people
to in a conga line to get out of the way.
I don't enjoy that. No. I don't enjoy that in general. So race.
We did enough of that in Rome. You know, the Swiss Alps 100, a great race. It was bigger than the Wienerwald, but it wasn't hugemongous. And it was quite cheap to get into, as I recall. I can't fully remember, but it was like, you know, 150 euro or something, which is, you know, 220 bucks for a 100K race.
Yeah.
With great aid stations and, you know, running along the glacier. Wienerwald, it was about the same price. It was a lot more low-key, you know, not that many aid stations and you know, but it was a different experience, but it was still an awesome race experience, and we thought it was beautiful. And you get to see a different part of Europe that you wouldn't normally see. So think outside the box. Don't just think CCC, UTMB. It's not just about them. We met this guy Rainer on the train on the Sunday, and he'd been in the race too, and he was talking about all the different races he does around Europe. And so many, and they're so beautiful. If you don't get into CCC and UTMB, do something different.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there's a lot out there.
Rainer was telling us how he found this run a bit boring because there were no castles.
we were like, we're used to that in Australia. He's like, most races in Europe, they take you on some scenic journey to look at some beautiful things. Because there was nothing here. But to us, it was beautiful because it was different.
Yeah, because it was a different
kind. But honestly, there are so many fantastic races, and everyone in Australia is so obsessed with CCC and UTMB. And I mean, I've done CCC, and it wasn't the best race experience. Like, the people didn't talk to you. Everyone was, you know, so serious, you know. And I don't know. I have found the Swiss Alps and the Wienerwald as a nicer community experience. Most of us, if we're going to CCC and UTMB, are not going there for the win.
Yep.
So you want other things out of it, like a nice experience with other people out on the trail. And I personally, I mean, I only did CCC once, so maybe other people will have a different experience, and that's great. But, you know, we had much more of a community. Like Wienerwald, when we did see people, they were lovely, weren't they?
Yeah.
And for me at the Swiss Alps 100, I was with people talking quite fairly frequently.
Mm.
I just think Europe is not just CCC and UTMB, which is A, super hard to get into, B, super expensive, and see over market, like that over hyped thing, you know. And you've got to stay in Chamonix, which costs an arm and a leg.
Hmm.
So, think of something different. Do something different.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Europe is a big place.
Yeah, Europe and, you know, and not even just the Alps. Like, you know,
you were in the forest.
The race was just in a nice woody hilled area outside of Vienna.
Yeah, so it was not mountainous. It was we did, you know, 3,200 meters climbing for 100K.
Yeah,
it was just rolling, and you know,
and we were in you know, some points it was the middle of the day and we're running through a canopy forest thinking it feels like it's about 6 o'clock at night because it was dark. There was
mysterious. It was beautiful,
like just running under a canopy of trees. The trails themselves were really runnable. Under a canopy of trees.
Yeah, I mean, I find it absolutely beautiful. I thought it was great. And I know some people want mountains, but it is very hard to train for something like CCC and UTMB in Australia because we don't have the hills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, it was beautiful. Yeah. And you know what? I just think people need to think of other races as well.
Yeah.
All righty. So on that note, we'll be back. I've got a few interviews lined up coming out, some really good ones. I don't want to say because I don't know what order they're going to come out in yet because I've got to do them with some of them I'll be doing on my own, but the other some we'll do together. But there's a few good ones. So stay tuned. And then after those interviews, we'll go back and have a couple of chats, just our general stuff, maybe how close to Cozzy, prep's going, that sort of thing.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed our trip as much as we did.
Well, they didn't really hear much about it because we didn't record, did we? No. Maybe the photos.
We had plans of recording the podcast.
We were too tired.
It was just God.
It was so tiring. Oh my God. Yeah, we were like party animals. We're in Europe, we're in bed by 8:30. Oh my
Complaining God. About the crowds walking around
because these noisy people having fun.
Having fun. What are they doing? They shoot me in bed.
Oh my God. Oh, we're sad. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one. Catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.